now more than ever, you need a source of news you can trust. And you have such a source in WYPR. Members are our most important source of funding, and we need you now more than ever so we can continue to keep you informed amid the pandemic with honest, accurate journalism. You can make a pledge at WYPR.org. If you're a sustaining member, consider an additional gift or increasing your monthly pledge. We could not be here without you, and we thank you so much.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. Millennials aren't having kids in large numbers, and that's a problem for baby boomers, and not just for those who hope to be grandparents. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention recently released data indicating that the birth rate has fallen to an all-time low in America. It seems that the millennials, those pesky 20 and 30-somethings, just aren't having kids, or at least not yet. Observers point to a number of factors, including lingering economic insecurity traceable to the Great Recession. Others assert that student debt is delaying parenthood. Whatever the reasons, the decision of millennials to delay or forgo having children will have a ripple effect on baby boomers. As indicated by Forbes, the majority of baby boomer wealth is not in the bank, in a pension plan, or even in an investment portfolio. It's in their homes. More than 70% of baby boomers live in suburban and rural areas. A growing number is on the verge of retirement, are looking to downsize, and to cash out the decades of equity they have amassed in their homes. But how can they cash out when millennials, yet to have kids, stay ensconced in the cities? For WYPR and my interim producer, Luke Spicknall, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. A recent state line analysis indicates that in 38 states, a larger share of households could be considered middle class than in 2013. In this instance, middle class is defined as earning between two-thirds and twice a state's median household income. This is good news and provides a glimpse into how the ongoing economic expansion has helped many families recover. The share of households deemed to be middle class had contracted in every state with the exception of Wyoming between the year 2000 and 2013. Despite the recent progress, there is much work to be done. In 2016, there were 30 states in which at least half of households were in the middle class. While that's up from 28 states in 2013, it's down from 43 states in the year 2000. In other words, since the turn of the century, the share of households in the middle class has shrunk in much of the nation. Only Alaska and Hawaii registered a larger share of middle-class households in 2016 than in the year 2000, and in both instances, the increase was just 0.2 percentage point. That said, in most states, middle-class households benefited from rising incomes between 2013 and 2016. For WYPR and my interim producer, Luke Spicknall, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. There is presently a pervasive narrative indicating that the U.S. economy is performing brilliantly. Indeed, along a number of dimensions, the U.S. economy is performing quite well, including in terms of GDP and job growth. But gains from ongoing economic expansion remain lopsided. As indicated by writer Patricia Cohen, rarely have corporate profits soaked up such a large share of the nation's wealth, and rarely have workers absorbed so little. In 2000, corporations pulled in about 8% of the nation's total income in the form of profits. Back then, wages and salaries accounted for 66% of the nation's income. Today, corporate profit share of national income is in excess of 13%, while worker compensation has fallen to a 62% share. Since the recession ended in 2009, corporate profits have expanded at an annualized rate of 6.5%. By contrast, yearly wage growth has yet to hit 3%, and when it does, the Federal Reserve Bank stands ready to do things that will slow economic growth, including by raising certain key interest rates. For WYPR and my esteemed producer, Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. According to economists at the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco, the federal tax cuts enacted in late 2017 will likely supply less of a boost to economic growth than many forecasters predict. According to these economists, the tax law changes are taking effect at a time when the economy is already reasonably strong. Correspondingly, there are fewer unemployed workers, spare resources, and idled factories available to spur into action relative to a period associated with an economic downturn. Citing a host of recent research, economists Tim Mahady and Daniel Wilson indicate that fiscal stimulus measures, like tax cuts, tend to generate greater economic impact when there is more slack in the economy. As indicated by writer Paul Kiernan, these conclusions run counter to those of many other economists. In its latest economic outlook, which was published in April, the Congressional Budget Office raised its projection for 2018 gross domestic product by more than 1 percentage point to 3.3%, due in large part to the tax cuts. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Friday morning economic report. Looking for a place to eat that doesn't cost too much? My recommendation, stay away from Geneva. The Swiss city is the most expensive in the world for food, according to UBS Group's Price and Earnings Report for 2018. The report ranks global city prices, earnings levels, and purchasing power. While food in Geneva costs more than anywhere else, the city's residents boast the highest earning levels among 77 analyzed global cities. As indicated by Bloomberg, the French-speaking locality serves as a hub for private bankers, commodities traders, and international organizations like the United Nations, World Bank, and Red Cross. Another Swiss city, Zurich, which is the German-speaking home of UBS Group and Credit Suisse, ranks second in earnings levels and is the world's most expensive city overall. A haircut there will cost you 20% more than it would in Geneva. Los Angeles, home to a global entertainment industry, came in fourth in terms of earning levels and was the only U.S. city to break into the top five. L.A. topped the rankings for purchasing power, with Zurich second and Miami coming in third. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu.